Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast. Pose your question or seek direction for your real-life issue. We invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now 1-800-677-9377, and you too can speak with Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about freedom, and I think there's so many powerful verses that speak of freedom. None more powerful than Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's the essence of the gospel. That's what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection does for each person who places their faith fully in the Lord Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life sets them free from the law of sin and death. When we were lost, we were under the condemnation of the law. Now, it wasn't the law's fault. The law was just judging us. Because we were sinful, because we were lost, because we were dead spiritually. So it was speaking correctly about who we were and what our destiny should be. And there is no way of escaping that condemnation through human effort, through good works. We couldn't produce good works. We were under the control of sin. That's bondage. That's exactly what Jesus said. The one who sins is a slave to sin. That's what we were as lost people. But through faith in Jesus Christ, all that changes. Our heart goes from one of unbelief to belief. We're born again into the family of God. We're no longer slaves. Now we're sons. God's Spirit has come to live inside of our hearts. He cries out, Abba, Father. We know we belong. We've been set free. That's what this passage is all about. So if you're in Christ, the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's good news.
Yes, indeed. That is Basic Gospel, everybody. And this is Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. Come on in, be a part of the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Waldorf, Maryland, and talk with Jay, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Just a little bit disturbed because I have some family members come over for the holiday, and, of course, the topic of God came up, and the person was saying that if you died in your sin, you would go to hell. I'm just like, well, what happens to salvation? What's the whole point of salvation, then? If, you know, if God has forgiven you for your sins for forevermore, and you're saying if the person runs a red light and they end up dying because they ran through a red light, do they go to hell because it's a sin and they didn't have a chance to repent?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jay, yeah. And it certainly is a dilemma. It's a dilemma in our minds because we think in such legalistic terms. We think we have to do something in order to get God to do something on our behalf. That's not the way it works. That's not the way of grace. Grace, God initiates. I love the story of the paralytic. As the friends lower the paralytic down through the roof, Jesus looks at him and immediately says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The paralytic didn't ask. The paralytic didn't beg. The paralytic didn't do anything. He was just lowered down by his friends. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus initiates. Grace initiates. We respond. And that initiation of grace is what produces repentance in our hearts. So we may come to God all downtrodden and sorrowful and those sort of things. God beats us to that point and says, your sins have already been forgiven, and that truth, again, works inside of us to produce the change. So grace initiates, we respond. But here's the deal. Once we're in Christ, Jay, we're no longer in sin, we're in Christ. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So he's talking about geography there. You were once in sin. That's where you live. That's where your life was, in sin, under the control of sin. Now you've been set free, and your geography has changed. You're no longer in sin. You're in Christ. You're no longer in darkness. You're in the light. You're no longer in the kingdom of Satan. You're in the kingdom of God. And when you're in the kingdom of God, you're always in God's favor. There is never a time where you can step outside of God's favor once that you've been brought into his favor by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Not even when you run a red light.
Not even when you run a red light.
Okay, so because we had there was a family member who got saved by Christ, but he went out drinking with his friends in the car. The car, you know, got an accident, he died. Also, we had a family member who got saved by Christ. We thought, you know, when we were younger, we all took, you know, the vow to Christ and, you know, accepted him in our heart. But when he got older, he was gay, right? But he died of AIDS. So we were saying, you know, did he go to hell? You know, because was there salvation for him? You know, for both of them. Two different situations. One recently got saved, just happened to tell his boys, you know, I ain't going out no more after this, but didn't make it home. And then the other one, you know, caught AIDS and died. But I was there when they came up to the altar and everything.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Well, Jay, I mean, if they were saved, here's the deal. Jesus saved them completely. There were no strings attached. I mean, Jesus didn't look at each one of those and say, now I'm going to save you, but I do have some conditions. You're going to have to act perfectly. You're going to have to live a sinless life from this point forward. You're going to have to mind your P's and Q's from this date on. And if you don't, then I'm going to cut the string and you're going to be gone. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus simply said, you're dead, and I want to raise you to life. And he raised them to life, and that's an eternal thing. So if they're truly saved, they were saved forever. They were saved the moment their hearts responded to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, what that means is they confessed with their mouths that Jesus is Lord, and they believed in their hearts that God had raised Jesus from the dead. That's that confession of faith that we make when the gospel message hits our hearts. Now, there's lots of people that give lip service, but they don't have a heart response. And that's where we kind of get in trouble. You know, somebody says, well, I prayed the prayer. Well, there's lots of people that prayed the prayer who aren't saved. There's lots of people that have walked the aisle who aren't saved. There's lots of people that have joined a church who aren't genuinely saved. So the question is, are they genuinely saved? And if they are genuinely saved, you can know that they were immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord at their death.
Wow, because I just battle with that doubt in my head that comes along when the devil try to say, you know, you wasn't saved. You know, you had that little good feeling when you was up at the stage and everything, but other than that, look what you did last week, or look what you did a long time ago.
Well, Satan,
you know, so
Satan,
I battle with that.
Satan is good at accusing us, Jay. That's his job, and he's the best that ever was and will ever be at that job, accusing us. He does it with glee in his heart. And he throws out all kinds of stuff, and you grab hold of it, and then you start accusing yourself. And what he does is he turns the whole salvation story on its head, and he makes it all about you, as if your good works saved you and your bad works could condemn you. Salvation is all about Jesus. He entered into your world, Jay. He said, you're dead. You're dead spiritually. You need life. I'm going to give you life. And when that happens, you cross over from death to life, and that's an eternal transaction. You can never go back. Once you've been made alive in Christ, you can never go back to death.
Okay. So with that being said, the other thing was said was if the person ended up committing suicide, you know, would they, there's no chance for repentance because it's murder. Yeah. You know, they murdered themselves, basically.
Well, again, we're conditioning our salvation upon repentance. You know, if I sin, and if I need to repent or confess, repent, ask God to forgive it, to get back into His good graces, if that's what the Bible teaches, then somebody who commits suicide, there's no hope of salvation. But the Bible doesn't teach that. God's kindness leads to repentance. His grace precedes anything that happens in our hearts. And so if somebody has been made alive in Christ, they're alive in Christ. And if they're truly saved and something happens where, you know, they just can't take this earthly existence anymore and they commit suicide, if they're truly saved, they're saved. That's God's work, and we have to recognize that God's work is more powerful than ours. See, if our sin was bigger than God's grace, Jesus would have never been raised from the dead. But the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead proves that God's grace is bigger than any amount of sin that this world can muster up. You understand?
See, that's
that?
What it was. Yeah, because I sat down, I believe what you were saying. I was saying it over and over in my head while I was having the conversation. But then after the person left and went home, I just started questioning everything. And I was just like, Lord, I ain't even supposed to be doubting. But, you know, and I just had to flip through the Bible, you know, and some of the stuff that the person was saying was true.
Yeah.
You know, but it just, deeper in thought, I just got into deeper in thought that I had no business getting into.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the key verse that we opened the program with. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So always the question is this: are you in Christ Jesus? There's only one way to get into Christ Jesus, and that's through new birth. You must be born again. You must cross over from death to life. But if you're in Christ Jesus, here's truth: there is no condemnation for you. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is, definitely.
Well, hold on to that good news tightly, my friend, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
Jay, we're really glad that you called today because you probably wouldn't even believe the number of people listening to this radio broadcast right now that struggle with the exact same thing, and they're glad that you called as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you hold the line, and we have some resources I think will be helpful to you, a little book called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It really takes a good look at what Christ did as far as our sins are concerned, and then a CD that says it's called Drive the Stake, and it's a look at this salvation that we have in Christ. So let me put you on hold, and we'll get that to you, okay, my friend?
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Jay. Plenty of open lines right now if you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to dial. Again, 800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky and talk with Mary Jo, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
I'm a bit nervous. After listening to that, I'm a bit nervous, but I'll try to get my question out.
Okay.
I know that the Bible says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I and the Father are one. But years ago, I heard a pastor say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in God. And that threw me back. I thought, well, what about the Jewish people? And I want your input on this.
Well, here's what Jesus said to the Jewish people. You search the scripture in hopes to find eternal life, yet these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So all of the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, those were all scriptures that were unfolding the story of Jesus. God has always chosen to reveal himself in Jesus Christ. So the Jews knew about a promised Messiah. They knew that somebody was coming. They read about that in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came onto the scene, they rejected him as that Messiah. They did not feel like that he fit the bill, that he fully was qualified to be that person. So they rejected Jesus. But to those who received him, they were given the right to become children of God. So the Jewish story was a story pointing forward to the ultimate Jew, Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh. And many looked at Jesus and said, no, that's not the Messiah. So they rejected the Messiah. And in rejecting the Messiah, they were rejecting God's testimony concerning his son. That's what happened with those that were on the scene when Jesus was on the scene. They rejected Jesus. Not all of them. Many of them did not. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, those all truly believed that Jesus was indeed God in the flesh, and they bowed down and worshiped him. But the same is true with the Gentiles. They can look out into the heavens and know that God exists, but then they're still going to say he's unknowable. When Paul went into Athens and he started talking with the philosophers of the day, the Greek philosophers, he noticed that they had all of these idols, and there was one in the middle of all of these idols that had this inscription to an unknown God. So they knew God existed, but they did not think that they could know him. Well, the only way that we can truly know God is through Jesus Christ. That's why he came to earth, to make God the Father known to mankind. So Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to God, he's the truth about God, and he's the very life of God that we get to share in through faith in him. So there's only one way to really know God, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Mary Jo. You do the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to San Antonio and talk with Robert, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, I'm enjoying your show. I'm way out in the middle of nowhere doing a tire change for a roadside company. But I just had something I wanted to bounce off y'all. You know, a gentleman called in about, you know, suicide and people dying from making wrong choices. And what I understand, and I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that God loves us unconditionally. Once we give our life to him, we belong to him. He has a destiny. He has so many great things for us and his promises. But it doesn't take away from the law of reaping and sowing. And
well, if we
can be saved, it's something bad we do. It's like the gentleman who died of AIDS. I believe he could have been saved, but his actions, it causes him to reap something bad. And that doesn't mean God doesn't love him. It's just kind of like we have the law of gravity, different things. And I just want to bounce that off of you real quick.
Well, if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap to the flesh.
Yeah.
That's what the Word of God has to say. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap from the Spirit. That's just part of this life. So if I give in to the desires of the flesh, then I'm going to see the fruits of that somewhere down the road. Now, that's not God punishing me. That's not God stepping in and saying, ha-ha, I'm getting you back for doing something wrong. That's just part of this life that we live in. If somebody climbs to the top of a building and they jump off, they're going to reap consequences from that decision.
And along with the suicide thing, I don't mean to interrupt you, but because I got to help this lady real quick, but along with the suicide thing, I went through a big time depression thing, and because someone I was discipling, I had got upset with them and they went off and committed suicide, and I couldn't even live with myself after that. And I was feeling so down in the service, and someone came and said to me, like, you know what? They didn't point me out, but they said, I just have the Holy Spirit is unctioning me to tell somebody you cannot get off your mind about someone committing suicide and whether they lost their salvation over it. And they said, I just want to bring up the scripture about Samson is in the hall of faith. And I don't know if they were saying that he committed suicide or that his death was kind of like that. When he died, he knew when he did that, he knew it was going to cost him his life. And I'll just get your thoughts on that now.
Well, Robert, God doesn't put another person's life into our hands at all. There is no one that we're responsible for as far as their salvation is concerned. That's God's work. Only Jesus can save someone. We get to participate in that work by telling a person about Jesus. But ultimately, if they're going to be saved, that's going to be God's doing. It's by grace through faith. So as that grace of God hits a person's heart and they respond in faith, they're saved. And that's a forever thing. That's an eternal thing. The only unpardonable sin, and I think that's one of the questions about suicide, is that the unpardonable sin?
Yeah.
And the Bible doesn't teach that.
No.
The unpardonable sin is the rejection of Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So God, by his Spirit, is making the good news of Jesus known to us here on planet Earth. Those who reject, they are rejecting the work of God's Spirit. They are basically blaspheming the work of God's Spirit. And if they stay in that state of rejection until they die, they're going to be eternally lost. That's just the way it is. And it's their rejection of Christ. That's the unpardonable sin.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Richard in Connecticut. Hi, Richard. Richard, you're on the line. If you can turn your radio off, we'd love to chat with you.
Little delay there.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William, listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Before I get to my question, I feel compelled to comment about that earlier caller who was questioning salvation or whether somebody was saved as they could. If they killed themselves and what have you. And just last night in our Bible study, we were studying the book of Galatians, and Paul wrote to them that apparently somebody was preaching a different gospel to them that was really no gospel at all, and the result was they were being thrown into confusion. And we were discussing how could a Christian get divorced or commit sexual immorality or kill themselves. And it seems like that's the answer right there, is if you're listening to a gospel that differs from the one that Paul preached, then you're thrown into confusion because it's mixing law and grace. And I just wanted to put that out there. Anyway, my question is, I hear this all the time, I like a good response to it. Does Matthew 25 indicate that we are going to be judged by our works?
Well, as believers, certainly our works are going to be judged, but our salvation has already been determined. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us, and so we belong. We've already been sealed. We've already been marked out by God's Holy Spirit. As the people of God. So if you're in Christ, you're already marked out as one of his. Your works will be judged, but not for salvation, just so you can have some clarity on how God used you in this world. Well, William, we're out of time. Thanks for your call.
Friends, if you're looking for an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're longing to experience true, genuine freedom, well, you're ready for The Cure. Written by John Lynch and his team at True Face Ministries, The Cure can help you experience the full force of the original good news. Let us say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel with a copy of The Cure for a gift of any amount. Request your copy and allow God's cure to free you to walk in the fullness of his love and grace. To make your gift and request your copy, go online to basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for Richard and Bob and all the staff. Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.